Recorded Books presents Why We Revolt, A Patient Revolution for Careful and Kind Care, Second Edition, by Victor Montori, narrated by Luis Moreno. Prologue to the Second Edition. Why We Revolt describes the obvious and prescribes the impossible. This was my fear 3 years ago when this little book first appeared. And yet, Why We Revolt has gone on to be read in clinics and in academia and discussed in pubs, cafes, and living rooms, on Twitter chats and podcasts. There, the book has added its voice to an emerging consensus for change. It offered the choir, tired of drawing from the songbook of despair, words for their songs of hope. You are now reading the second edition of Why We Revolt. This edition, no longer self-published, has a better chance to reach further and to continue to create meaningful conversations among its readers and this humbled, surprised, and grateful author. I imagine it sharing its language and hopeful call with many more people like you. People who, like me, are no longer satisfied with knowing the difference between what is and what should be. In the years since Why We Revolt first appeared in 2017, this difference has expanded, and we have grown hungrier for a revolution. Because the road is long and our mission urgent, let's embark now on a patient revolution. Let's bring this little book with us, if only to remind us that there is a chance that our actions today can bring about careful and kind care for all. The second edition of this book coincides with a global disaster. A pandemic of febrile breathlessness has galloped into our lives along with fear, disinformation, and isolation. To outsmart the virus, we have to stay away from each other. At the moment of this writing, the virus has decimated the closeness, the kiss, the handshake, the hug, the presence, the touch. This pandemic, however, is like an urban redevelopment that accidentally unearths ancient ruins, revealing something new about our present selves. COVID-19 has made evident our core humanity, the care in our hearts and in our hands. To outsmart the virus, we had to be apart, but we reduced social distancing to physical distancing, and solidarity took hold. We found ways to sing from apartment windows and rooftops, to play bingo from across the street with lonely and frightened nursing home residents, to leave gift boxes for waste collectors, to build tents on bullfighting arenas to house the homeless, and to come together to ensure everyone had a meal. We sent poems, cards, letters, and notes to strangers and to estranged friends and relatives. The world slowed down, and families experienced conversation of the unhurried type. Clinicians responded to the privilege of the bedside by showing up and caring, despite the risk of contagion. They reached out to patients with ongoing conditions, those pushed away by overwhelmed hospitals, and cared for them where they were, minimally disrupting their lives. Communities turned toward caring for each other. The care of patients became more careful and kind. Our revolution was validated, its goals feasible, existing here, now. We must not forget this. Industrial healthcare, as this book describes, long ago stopped caring. The pandemic simply exposed with even more clarity the corruption of its mission. National and corporate leaders made the same calculations as did opportunists and profiteers. Getting more ventilators was too expensive, and a breathless elderly person asked his clinician to save the available ventilator for the breathless young person. Masks and other protective equipment were made scarce and expensive, and exposure to the coronavirus increased unnecessarily. Because of this,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?